Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Eddie Wu as a guest. Eddie is a Taiwanese American. He is a PhD student in philosophy with a concentration in apologetics and culture at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Hello, Eddie, how are you?
Doing well, Sammy. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest. I'm so excited to get to know your personal story. In this podcast, this is podcast number, episode number one, we want to know your personal story. So, Eddie, can you tell us about your family?
Yes, so my family, I would consider a first generation Asians. They came from Taiwan to America to study. My dad got his PhD here in the States, and my mom also got two master's degrees here. I was born here in America, in Missouri. And so I would be considered a second generation Asian American, full American citizen.
Right.
And so they came over, and so I would consider my family very traditional Asian. In other words, they came in with a lot of traditional practices, beliefs, and I kind of grew up in between those two worlds of both my parents' traditions and their practices, and then also the American culture of which I'm a part of as well.
Okay, great. I know you're married, right?
Yes, yes, correct.
Okay, so could you tell us about your immediate family?
Yes, yes. So my wife is Erica. She is actually from Louisiana, and I am as well. That's where we met. And she's American, from a white American family. We have two children. Millie is our daughter, oldest, who is 3 years old. And then Oliver, our youngest, who just turned one.
Oh, wow. That's great. Awesome. Eddie, how did you become a follower of Christ?
So my story starts in Louisiana. I grew up, I would say, fairly non-religious. We didn't believe in any God. My parents, I would still say, are either non-Christian or maybe closer to Taoist. But so that's kind of the environment I grew up in. I grew up with a heavy emphasis on science and math. And so I grew up believing, almost like an atheist, that God did not exist. That science and math could answer all of our problems, solve all of our issues. And I thought the Bible was nothing more than fairy tales and just a feel-good story. Now that being said, my sister actually had a friend who invited us to their church when I was about, I think, a sophomore in high school. And it was a very low-key. We went and played dodgeball at the church, kind of a fun night. And I just really enjoyed the time that I spent there with the people that I met. And I kept going back to the church over and over again for a good solid year. And during that year, I heard the gospel. I went to D-Nals. I went to, you know, church camps. And I just kept feeling like God was calling me to him, but I just didn't want to accept quite yet. And so eventually I went on a mission trip with the church, which is surprising considering I wasn't even a Christian at the time, but they still let me go. But I went on a mission trip with the church and we went to Colorado and we were helping a couple of church plants over there. And it was on that trip that I heard Ephesians 6 talking about the armor of God and the sword of God and all the equipment that God gives you. And it was at that point that I realized that's what I wanted. That's what I needed in my life. And so I gave my life to Christ on that night after hearing Ephesians 6. It was on a church mission trip, of all places. And ever since then, I have not looked back. I've been faithfully, as much as I can, following the Lord and what he has for me.
Wow, that's amazing. So I heard some stories that the people who came to seminary and they become a Christian.
Yes, yes, that's true.
So
that can even happen
know.
Then.
Yeah, God can save people at any places.
Yes, that's right.
A mission field, a mission trip, and a seminary.
That's right.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, I mean, I think you touched on a little bit about this, but how did you, Eddie, how did you sense God's calling for ministry in your life or God's calling for you to come to seminary to be equipped as a minister?
Yeah, that's a good question. So even after I became a Christian, I was still very much heavily in science and math. I mean, that's just what I was good at. And so I went to LSU, Louisiana State University in Louisiana, and I majored in electrical engineering. And for me, that just made sense. My dad was an engineer, and I was naturally good at the math and science, so it just seemed like a good fit for me to go into engineering. While I was in college at LSU, towards the end of my junior and beginning of my senior year, I served with throughout my college years with the BCM there. BCM stands for the Baptist Collegiate Ministry. Mm-hmm. And I served there faithfully for 4 years. And it was near the end of that, as I was getting close to graduation, I started hearing a lot of talk about seminary. Seminary this, seminary that, people going to seminary. I just kind of began to wonder, is engineering what God is calling me to, or should I perhaps maybe consider going to seminary? That was a big shift. Obviously, engineering and seminary don't really have much in common. And so I had to sort of make a decision there. And so I kept exploring. And eventually, I just felt God calling me. Seminary is where you need to go. I'm going to use you in this way. Part of that also may have been that during my engineering program, I didn't do many internships. I didn't feel like that was really my area of interest. I just kind of did it because that's what I felt like I was supposed to do. But I could really feel God's calling me to seminary. And so at near the end of my senior year, of all things, as I was about to graduate, I made the decision to go to seminary. And that led down to a road of deciding whether to go to New Orleans, which was closer to in Louisiana, or Southeastern. And ultimately, I chose Southeastern because Southeastern just had a fantastic missions mindset. And that was a big reason why me and my wife now decided to come here, as we were both deciding where to go for seminary. We decided Southeastern, and we had always heard about how missions focused it was, how they wanted to reach the lost and to send people all around the world. And so that led us ultimately to Southeastern because we really wanted to be part of that mission. I originally came to Southeastern with a degree in missiology, doing my MDiv. And then that changed about halfway through as I realized God wasn't calling us to the mission field. He was actually maybe calling us to stay and to be faithful where we were in Wake Forest. And so about halfway through my MDiv, my Master's of Divinity at Southeastern, I changed my focus from missiology to apologetics. I realized that apologetics was really where I was passionate about. I really wanted to learn more about how do I defend my faith. And coming from a science and math background, I also wondered, was there any good reasons outside of just faith alone for me to believe in this God that I believe in? Are there any scientific reasons? Are there any evidence for God? Or is it all just blind faith? And so that led me down to apologetics. And ultimately, by the Lord's grace, into the PhD program in apologetics as well.
So how long have you been in the PhD program?
I just started the PhD. So my first semester was the last fall semester, fall of 2018. So I've just begun the PhD program very recently.
Awesome. Great. Hey, Eddie, what's your life verse?
I would say my life verse would probably be James, where he talks about faith without works is dead. For me, that's always been huge, is not only saying and believing what I believe, but also acting that out. And for me, that was always a big deal, was not only just, I may say I'm a Christian and I may, say all these great things about God, but if I don't live a life that actually reflects that, if I'm not doing the things that God calls me to, maybe I don't have the faith that I believe in. And so for me, faith without works is dead is a huge, that really motivated me to live a life faithfully for God.
Amen. Who's the biggest influence in your life?
If he ever listens to this, he'll get a laugh out of it. But my friend back in Louisiana, so when we first went to that church, his name is Tyler Moore. He was one of the first people I met. And he was about a little bit older, two years older than me. And he was very strong in his faith, already a very strong Christian. He went to seminary as well. And he was the one that when I went on that trip to Colorado and heard Ephesians, he was the first person I told my salvation to. And he was the one who walked me through, what does it mean to be a Christian? Before I became a Christian, he was always answering questions I had, even dumb questions, even tough questions. He was always there. So for me, Tyler Moore means the world to me. I don't know if I would be where I am without his influence in my life.
Wow, that's great. Is he in this seminary here, or is he in a different seminary?
He actually went to New Orleans. He went to New Orleans Baptist and graduated there. And he's actually still in Louisiana. So I went the furthest out of all of my friends, I think. ran far away.
Yeah. So whenever you miss Cajun food,
yes. The food here in North Carolina is good, but nothing compares to good Louisiana cooking.
Right, yeah. So on the way here, you were talking about Cajun food, and you're like really highly recommending the food for me.
Oh, yes. If you get a chance to go to Louisiana, whether, you know, like New Orleans, Baton Rouge, or Shreveport, where I'm from, right. Or Lake Charles, where my wife is from,
right.
You should try to get some Cajun food, some catfish, some oysters, crawfish. It's it's unlike anything you've ever eaten.
Wow, yeah, it's already tempting.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely. All right. What are you most passionate about?
I would say the big three things I'm most passionate about are, first, apologetics. I talked about with my major and with what I'm studying here, that's a big, big part of my life. Teaching, I hope to be able to use my PhD and teach the future generations, particularly in apologetics. I think that's something that's not talked about nearly as much, especially in our culture where things are changing and maybe Christianity isn't the dominant religion anymore, or the Christian way of life isn't what it used to be. So as a young Christian, I struggle with, you know, what does it mean? How do I know my faith is real? How do I know my faith is truly a real faith that I can believe in? And apologetics for me was a big deal. So I want to pass that on to the next generation of young believers. And I would say excellence. Doing all you do with excellence. I think that's part of what God calls us to as Christians. We're not allowed to just simply do lackluster work or poor work, but rather we should do work that glorifies God, and that can only be excellent work that we do each day.
That's great. Excellent.
Yes.
Now, you're Taiwanese-American, Asian-American. How do you describe your life growing up as an Asian-American in the United States?
Yes, that's a good question. So I would say there was a tension that I felt growing up as an Asian American, particularly a second generation Asian American in the United States. And perhaps we'll talk about this in a later session, but there's the tension of, first, I grew up at home with parents who spoke Chinese to me, who had certain traditions that we followed, certain practices, certain holidays that were much more important to us than other holidays. And then I also grew up in the American culture. I went to school with English speaking American people, and who talked about different things than what I talked to at home. At home, we ate a certain type of food. And at school, there was a different type of food that was eaten, right? There's also a language barrier, speaking Mandarin at home as opposed to English in school. I will say there's also a relational difference where I relate to my parents differently than maybe my classmates relate to their parents. Or even I relate to my Asian friends, those who are maybe first or second generation, differently than I would my American friends. We talk about different things. We have different interests. I think the biggest example I can give is growing up in Louisiana, football is king, American football. And in an Asian home, no one really seems to, you know, care much about that, right? That's not a big deal. It's just a sport. But going to LSU, a big football school, watching football, like that became a big part of my life, was really enjoying the game of football. And that's a big difference. That's not something that's really can be felt. And I would say that's part of a tension that's there for maybe Asian Americans, particularly those second generation ones, where you have your parents' heritage and their traditions, but then you also have the American culture, which is also a big part of who you are as a young Asian American person.
Great. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing about your personal life and your passion. And I'm so excited to get to know more about you, what you do right now as a student in Southeastern Seminary, and how you integrate what you learn to what you do.
Yes.
For God's kingdom.
Yes.
Listeners, thank you so much for hearing. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.